So some of you may have noticed that there's a sukkah out there that was awesome, but it has to be taken down. And Carl and I were just chatting yesterday, and I said to Carl, who's going to take down the sukkah? And he said, well, somebody will probably do it. And then we remembered this little story about, we personalized, about four members of Shema Yisrael. And the four members here are named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. So here's the story. When there was an important job to be done in the congregation, everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Amen. So hopefully the sukkah will be taken down in the next week or so. And somebody will do it. And anybody can help. Nobody is excluded. And nobody will get mad. How's that? So today we are going to do part four of a series, and so I just want to give a little warning to those who are visiting here for the first time that you've missed the first three parts. I'm going to try to do a little summary of it, but you can catch those on the internet, on our podcast site or on our YouTube site, or you can buy CDs of them if you choose. And the four-part series is called A Time for Healing. And it was provoked by two things. One, that in traditional Judaism, we focus on the theme of God's book of life, starting at the time of Elul, really, a month before Rosh Hashanah, and right on through to Sukkot. And the traditional thinking is that God decides our fate for the next year between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And therefore, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, we have these 10 days of awe, the Yomim Noraim, and they're days of personal introspection, repentance, preceding the Day of Atonement. And the Hebrew word for that is teshuva, making teshuva. And so that was one of the incentives for sharing about these messages about healing, because I believe there is healing power in having that attitude, that contrite attitude of asking God to show us if there's things we need to change. Physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, and financial healing, all of those things. And the other factor that prompted this series was that sometime before Rosh Hashanah, we were coming to the Lord's table, and as you're probably aware, the scriptures talk about there being healing in the cup and the matzah. And I just felt led to ask how many people needed physical healing. And it was really amazing, astounding. About three quarters of the people in the room stood up, all saying that they needed physical healing. And that I was really burdened by that, to say, wow, that many need physical healing. So those two factors led to this series. And I have come to believe that biblical knowledge and truth and faith or trust and wisdom are components that bring healing in all of those different areas. So let me start out by reviewing those first three messages a little bit. The Bible talks about what we call, in our terminology, spiritual roots of diseases. We're referring to physical things that doctors can't cure, especially diseases that are chronic and that doctors cannot cure, but just medicate so you can tolerate. And those spiritual roots also deal with other dysfunctions, like emotional dysfunctions and relational dysfunctions and financial dysfunctions. And so we looked at six passages that talked about how those things are rooted in our iniquity. And I'm not going to read these passages, but let me just summarize them real quickly. If you can jot them down, you might want to go look them up. Exodus 15:26 talks about the obedient being blessed by health. Deuteronomy 28, 22, 27, 28, 35, and 59 through 61 all talk about the disobedient experiencing all kinds of terrible things in their bodies, sicknesses. Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 12 speak about a paralytic who was let down through a hole in the roof on a stretcher, and he was healed by Yeshua when Yeshua said, "Your sins are forgiven." And didn't pray for him for healing, didn't lay hands on him, just said, "Your sins are forgiven," and his paralysis disappeared. And then in Proverbs 14:30, it says, "Envy rots the bones." And in Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A broken spirit dries the bones." And in Luke 21:26, it says, "Hearts will fail because of fear." So with those six or so, actually there's much more because there were like six or seven scriptures in Deuteronomy, that's kind of the basis of saying that the Bible says that there's a connection between the iniquity or the sin in our lives and our physical health, but I believe also in our other areas of dysfunction, other areas that we need health in, like relationships and finances. And so we can deal with the root causes of these dysfunctions by discovering the roots, which are often hidden, because that's how Satan works. He works through deception. And then dealing with those roots, very simple process, not rocket science. It's to deal with the roots by repentance, deliverance, and prayer for healing. Those are the ways to deal with them. And so I believe that this particular season of the year, this particular time, we've passed the 10 days, but I've been asking the Lord to extend the 10 days to the 20 days and the 30 days, that these are, because there are times to uncover secret things, that these are times when we can discover those roots and deal with them. And that process of uncovering and dealing will be especially fruitful now because it's God's appointed time for it. And so as I look back through my notes, I found that very frequently over the years around this time of the high holidays, the Spirit of God has inspired me to speak about healing at these times. Now, I want to give some greater understanding, especially about sickness. We're talking here about sickness being due to a person's either known or unknown sin, or what we'll talk about a little bit later is iniquity. But it's also true that it could be due to someone else in their life's sin. For instance, if a person has been abused, oftentimes this creates lots of dysfunction, both physically and emotionally and relationally, lots of different ways. Or it could be that Satan has gained some power over us, gotten some kind of a power over us through our own sin or someone else's sin, like in the case of an abuser. Or, you know, this is very clear, for instance, when people become addicted to something. They dabble in it for a while, and pretty soon it becomes something that they can't get away with. And that's how Satan gets a hold over them. Also, a root can be due to a traumatic experience. And oftentimes, when we have a very frightening experience, like a car accident or, a loved one, like a parent dying or something like that, those can make an opening for fear, and fear can get a hold of us. Fear is a spirit that can gain power over us. Another area that these can come from can be through a betrayal, a rejection by someone that is very much beloved in your life, and that can open the door to allow a spirit of bitterness to have an opening. So those are the kind of things that we're looking at, and we looked at in these past three lessons several verses, but I just want to bring one forth here. Is it God's will to heal physically? And Psalm 103 is just very clear on this. Verse 2 says, "Bless Adonai, the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your iniquities," and let's recite the last part together, "he heals all your diseases." So if we believe that he forgives all our iniquities, we have to believe that he is wanting to heal all of our diseases too. Now, as we went through this over the last few weeks, we said there can be exceptions to this. Absolutely, there can be exceptions. In John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, is the story of a man who was born blind, and Yeshua says it was for the glory of God, so that people would witness his healing. So yes, he was born blind. It wasn't because of his sin. It wasn't because of his parents' sin. But I put it here in the notes because what did Yeshua do about the fact that he was born blind? He healed him. And there was no record of anybody ever healing a man born blind. So this was a sign that he was the Messiah, and it was a sign that God heals. And this man was gloriously healed. Now, and the other exception, of course, is that unless the Lord comes back before our time comes, all of us will die. And I personally want to go out without getting sick first, but I am going to die unless the Lord comes back. Anybody here doesn't believe that? Think you're going to live in this body forever? Could happen if the Lord comes back, but if he doesn't, we are going to die. And generally when people die, if it isn't sickness, they become weak and they pass on. So those are a couple of the exceptions to it. Now this week's Parsha, we're not going to get the scroll out today, but I just wanted to read a verse from the Parsha because it was very interesting to me that this was in there. I never saw it before, but it's right after the flood. And then Noah made a sacrifice of the clean animals that he had brought with him through the flood. And in chapter 8 of Genesis in verse 21, it says this, "When Adonai smelled the soothing aroma, Adonai said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground on account of man, even though the inclination of the heart of humankind is evil from youth. Nor will I ever again smite all living creatures as I have done.'" And it just struck me as I read that, what God was saying is here, Noah was a righteous man, and his descendants were going to be righteous in his footsteps, as they followed in his footsteps. But what does the Lord say here? This was the reason that he wiped out the earth in the first place, that the inclinations of every person was evil. And he's saying, it's still evil. It's still here. So the inclination of human hearts is evil from youth. This is what we understand is human iniquity. It wasn't changed by the flood. The iniquity was still there after the flood. We are still subject to it. There's not one of us here that doesn't struggle with our flesh, which is another way of speaking about iniquity, or our carnal nature, or our old person. Anybody here willing to stand up and say, "I don't struggle with my flesh or my old nature"? No, because you all know we all still struggle with that. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that one of the biggest obstacles to effective prayer for healing is the belief of many in the body that because you've received the Lord, because you've been born from above, the effect of that iniquity, that evil inclination in your life is gone. You don't have to deal with it anymore. You just have to ask the Lord for forgiveness and everything is fine. That's not there. Well, I don't believe that that's what the New Covenant teaches. I believe it teaches that walking with the Lord is a lifelong battle with that inclination to evil, against that inclination to evil, against our flesh. The Lord tells us we're to crucify the flesh. We're to put it to death. But then he says this strange thing, daily. Meaning you put it to death once and it comes back. It's there. It's an ongoing process. We call this sanctification. It's the maturing process whereby we are conformed to the image of Yeshua. And my understanding of this, and I hope it's yours, is that process should lead to greater and greater victory over sin, over iniquity, and over Satan's devices. And that should lead to healing in all areas that we talked about, spiritually and getting closer to God, emotionally, having more joy and less depression, physically being healthier, relationally being able to keep friendships better and make friends better, and financially even. So all of those things should be something that we're moving toward is how I believe it. Now, again, the Bible speaks of this in 1 John. It's so clear in 1 John, some verse you've probably heard. We all often memorize chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 9, which says that God will forgive us if we confess our sins. But look at what the verse just before that says. If we claim not to have sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Wow. He's saying that as believers, this is written to believers, we still struggle with sin. So can everybody swallow that? I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow, but we all still struggle with sin. And people get confused then, and they'll ask things like, well, if I'm still a sinner, didn't anything happen when I was born from above? Yes, a huge change happened. It happened in me, and I'm sure in many of you. According to Jeremiah's prediction in chapter 31 of the New Covenant, which is repeated in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, here's what happened. When you gave your heart to the Lord, when you submitted yourself to him, God wrote his word in your mind, and I believe that's for two reasons. One, so you can remember it, and number two, so you can understand it, because I couldn't do either of those things before I gave my heart to the Lord. Secondly, he wrote his word on your heart. Point to your heart. What's written on there? God's word. What does that mean? That means it's on your heart. It means you love it and you have a desire to keep it. And that's what happened to me. Did that happen to some of you? When wasn't that a big change? Because before that, you know what my desire was? It was to get around it. Really, get around it and not get caught. That was the desire. But then it became to keep his word. And in addition to those two things that happened, he put his ruach, his Holy Spirit, in you. Why? To give you the power, to enable you to keep his word and to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. That's what all those verses about walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Who are the children of God? Those who are what? Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. And you know what? He wasn't in there before. He was speaking to you, but he wasn't in there. He wasn't in there filling you. So all of that is the advantage that God has given us, but it's weapons and its advantage and its power in our struggle against sin. Okay? Everybody got that? And we all struggle with that old nature, that flesh, that iniquity. And at times, I'll be the first to admit, we all give in, or at least I give in to it. And the question is, why? Why do we give in? And I think there's two very, very simple reasons. First, out of ignorance of God's word. Oh, I didn't know that was something that God didn't like. And second, the deception of the enemy. Remember, all of his power is through deception. And he tricks us into thinking, oh, that's okay. God won't mind that. That's fine. That won't do any harm. I can do that. And so we all fall short in those two ways. We fall short of God's standards in thought and in attitude. That's iniquity. When we don't think the way God thinks, when we have attitudes that are not godly attitudes, that's iniquity. And when it moves further on to word or action, then it's sin. Because we're actually acting out those things, or transgression, breaking of his laws. But I believe that if I were to ask every one of you here personally, that's not what you want to do anymore, right? You don't want to do that. It's not something that you habitually do. And what happens when you slip and you do it? You don't just ignore it. You repent, and you ask God to help you. That's the change that happened. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit in you, convicting you, and humbling you and bringing you to that place of repentance. So where we're going today is that the New Covenant teaches that sin and iniquity, which we still struggle with, still has an effect on our lives. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, relational, financial, it still has an effect on our lives. And here's the verse that I've quoted often that speaks of this so clearly. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, of the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what's this talking about? Sowing the Spirit means following the leading of the Spirit, do it the works of the Lord, serving God, and letting the fruits of the Spirit grow in your life. But the other one there, that's the good side of this promise. But the other side is that if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. Other translations say destruction. You will reap destruction. And it's interesting to me that it says, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap destruction. And you could say that means you're going to get destruction from your flesh, or you could interpret that to mean that your flesh is going to be destroyed. Everybody see how you could interpret that either way? And the flesh being destroyed means that's physical stuff. That's physical, your flesh being destroyed, sickness. Or I believe that when the Bible speaks of your flesh, it can also mean your soul, your emotions, and your thinking. That can also be destroyed. And we should understand that in Galatians 6 here, who is this written to? It's to believers. This is not written to unbelievers. This is written to believers. Now, another thing we've learned is that sometimes past sin can continue to cause problems in our lives, even if it has been repented of. If a demonic power has gained power over you through something in the past, you can repent of that and say, you know, I've been forgiven by God for that. But unless you break the power of that spirit through deliverance, it can still affect you in many, many ways. And that's the power that the Lord has given us to deal with, even those times when the enemy has gotten power over us. So if the enemy has kept us in the dark about these root causes of sickness and bondage and conflicts and financial problems, he can keep us from God's blessing and healing in these things. So what do we need to do to hear about these things if they're secret? What do we need to do? The thing that I've seen about this in my own life is that they're often hidden from ourselves. And it takes like a wake-up call to see what these things are. Well, what we need is what the Bible calls a contrite heart or a contrite spirit. That speaks of a heart that trembles when we see ourselves falling short of the standards of thinking and behaving in God's word. And with that, and when turning to God, it's up to him then. He will reveal these things. So last week, we learned that sickness and disease are basically caused by dysfunction in relationships. In three areas: our relationship with God, our relationship with other people, and our relationship, which sounds a little strange, but our relationship with ourselves, because you do have a relationship with yourself. A dysfunction in relationship with God is a dysfunction in relationship with his word, like people who can't read the word, they fall asleep or something when they try to read the word, or it doesn't stick with them, or obviously if they have trouble obeying it. And people who have no assurance that God loves them, that's a dysfunction in your relationship with God. The second area is dysfunction in relationship with yourself. And that manifests in ways, as I've done a lot of counseling, I see this very often, that people will come out and just tell me that they hate themselves. They hate how they look. They hate how they act. They hate that they do this or that they do that. And they have low self-esteem and guilt over something they've done in the past, condemnation. All of those things are indications of a dysfunctional relationship with yourself, because God loves you and he wants you to love yourself the way he made you. And thirdly, dysfunction in relationship with others. And I think we're all familiar with that. Unforgiveness, resentment, anger and hatred and bitterness and competition and envy. These are all frequently sources of dysfunction in our lives. So that's all kind of summarizing where we've been. And I want to just give four important points here before we look at some new areas here. First of all, before I learned about what I'm talking about here, about these spiritual roots, I used to pray for healing, lay hands on people, anoint people with oil in obedience. And every once in a while, either myself or somebody who was praying with me would have a gift of the Spirit manifest, and some insight would come to the spiritual root of that, whatever was going on. And I can remember this, and even in one of our children who was having some sickness. And I remember Diane and I praying. You know, we went to the doctor, we got all kinds of medicine, we did all kinds of things, and it wouldn't go away. And we prayed, and Diane got a word, and it was, you haven't dedicated this child to the Lord. Oh, so we went and dedicated the child to the Lord, and sickness went away. That was the kind of the gift of the Spirit that we're talking about here. And those kind of things would happen, and I would and when they were applied, healing would come. But as I look back, these were unusual occurrences. They were not the norm. It wasn't like this was happening all the time. What has happened in the last few years in my life, and what I've been sharing with you, is that I've learned that medical science has discovered the roots of many incurable diseases. They can't cure them, but they know what causes them. And we have access to what is called a spiritual roots directory. The congregation actually subscribes to this. And what it is a record compiled based on experiences over the past 25 years of what spiritual root is associated with what particular sickness. And we have access to that. So if you're suffering from this or that, you can come to me and say, what is the spiritual root of that? And I can go online and have to have the password and all that. But I can go online and I can look that up and tell you, this is the spiritual root of that. You need to pray and see if that's something that is a struggle in your life. And therefore, when we pray, we can go directly after that thing instead of just, you know, waiting on a gift of the Spirit, which come as I said, maybe it's because I don't hear that well, or they come all the time, but come infrequently. Now, that Spiritual Roots database is kept up and was developed by a ministry called Be in Health, which is in Thomaston, Georgia. And I just want to take a couple of minutes and talk about Be in Health, because they have been of great value to me personally and to many of you here over the years. And I just want to explain why they've been such great value. First of all, it's because my wife was healed through their ministry. She was healed of chronic vertigo, which she suffered from for 15 years and was the bane of our existence. But also, they have 25 years of experience in dealing with these spiritual roots. And over the years, the Spirit of God inspired them to keep records. And so when they pray for somebody and somebody comes in with a certain illness and they pray for them about some particular aspect of that illness and they're healed, they write that down and they keep a record of that. And out of that, this database has been developed. They also have lots of teachings and testimonies by people who have been healed, and a curriculum that I think the greatest value of it is that it covers what people need to understand to grasp these things and be healed. Now, I want to say they're not always right, not only in their diagnosis of what root goes with, but in their theology. I've found many things that I've disagreed with about them, about that they teach that I've disagreed about. And others who I know have looked into this ministry have too. But I believe we can learn from those resources that they have made available to us. And let me just make a little plug now. Rabbi Ben said, you know, that we do a Sunday night group called Benafshi. Benafshi is Hebrew for my life. And what For My Life is the curriculum that this ministry has developed and that they teach down in Georgia, or sometimes they bring it on the road. We had them come here and do it a few years ago. And what we're doing on Sunday night is we're basically going through that curriculum very slowly based on the notes that I took when I went through it. So you're all welcome to come to that. It's at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. The third important point to make here is that not all diseases are caused by spiritual roots. And the Be in Health people attest to this, and others who are in this field attest to this. The estimates are that 85% of chronic incurable diseases have a spiritual root. But the other 15%, either they don't have any root or nobody has discovered it yet. They're just there. And the fourth thing is that I need to take a minute and shine some light on a deception done by the spirit of condemnation that causes people to have a problem with this whole line of thought here that we're talking about. And that is that some people have rejected this teaching because they're afraid that if they have some kind of detectable sickness, which could be a cough, could be a tumor, could be a rash, or they may have some serious disease, and they tell someone, people who have this teaching will be judgmental toward them. Can you see how that would happen? Oh, you must be sinning in this way. You must be sinning. And they would consider them to be sinners, impure, have iniquity, and they would lose respect, and they would be subject to gossip. So that's what this spirit of condemnation throws at people. So, well, I don't have anything to do with that because, gee, I wouldn't even want to come into services if I have a cold. People would say, oh, you must be sinning. Well, I want to say that that's not the way it works, because here's why. Those who receive this teaching, yet to receive it, you have to humble yourself and admit that you have that iniquity, right? Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. You can't go around saying, you know, I can help you with your sickness there because we'll deal with your sin, when saying, well, I've never had any problem like that. That would be just totally unreceived by most people. So people who have received this have humbled themselves and admitted that they themselves struggle with these things, and that they will not judge others who are struggling with those things. Another reason to not fear this kind of judgmentalism is that sometimes the root cause of a sickness may be iniquity from some time in the past. And God may have already dealt with you about it and delivered you from it, but the effect may still be causing physical problems. And let me just give an example of this in my own life. Several years ago, probably 8 years ago, I had a scan, and it revealed that there was a kidney stone lodged in my kidney. I actually had to have the stand because I was passing a kidney stone at the time. And it revealed that there was another one lodged in my kidney. So I looked up the root cause of kidney stones, and it's stress and anxiety. And when I learned that, I repented, and I asked the Lord to help me deal with those things, and he's done a lot. I'd have to say I deal better with stress now than I have years ago, and I've been working on it. But in June, that stone that was lodged in my kidney, and the doctors at the time said it could stay there forever or it could come out tomorrow. In June, that stone broke loose, and it traveled down to the duct, and it got stuck in the duct, and I had to have surgery to get it out. Okay? So that was the effect of a root that I had dealt with years ago, but the effect was still there. And so there's no condemnation in admitting that you have these roots is the point. So now that I've given those caveats, I'd like today to look at some new things. First of all, I'd like to look at the power of our tongues in causing these kind of dysfunctions. And again, in all of these areas, and James chapter 3, verse 6 says this, the tongue is a fire, a world of wickedness. The tongue is so placed in our body that it defiles every part of it, setting ablaze the whole of our life, and it is set on fire by Gehinnom, or hell itself. So what James is saying here is that words have power. Things we have said ourselves can bring destruction on ourselves. Now, obviously, when you think of that, you first think about blasphemy or boasting or criticizing or judging or abusing others, all those kind of things. But I want to focus in on something very specific here today. I feel like the Spirit of the Lord has been saying to do this. And that is the words that we use in our self-talk. Do you know that you all have some self-talk? You talk to yourself. It's not being crazy, but we all talk. If you don't know that you talk to yourself, just listen for a while. You will find that there is that voice in you that you are talking to yourself. And if that self-talk consists of self-criticism and self-rejection and self-bitterness, those are words that have power to bring destruction on you yourself. And the good news is that self-talk can be changed by repenting of where what you are saying about yourself disagrees with what God is saying about you, and praying for deliverance and renewing of your mind. So that's one very important area where our words can affect us. Another area is that we can also suffer destruction because of other people's tongues, things that people have spoken against us. And we had a very interesting experience with this about 5 or 6 years ago. Diane was still very sick, suffering from vertigo, and we were finding no remedies. We've gone to doctors and therapists, and we've had people pray, lots of people pray, anointing with oil, everything. Nothing was working. And then one day I was given a prophetic word that some anti-missionaries who are non-Messianic Jewish people who oppose the Messianic movement, that some anti-missionaries were actually speaking curses against the leaders of the Messianic movement. And if you think about it a while, yeah, why not? They think that we're really bad. They think that we're, you know, that we're undermining and that we are blaspheming and that we're, you know, we're terrible. So we heard that, and Diane and I simply prayed and broke the power of those curses, proclaiming the Messiah's power to break curses in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And it was amazing. Immediately after that, we were able to make contact with a physical therapist who was able to help Diane tremendously. And up to that point in time, nothing would help. So those, I believe, were words. Now, these words that we speak, we need to understand also can cause fires in other people's lives and destruction. And other people's words can cause destruction in our lives, not just curses, but words of criticism, words of anger. All of these things can cause destruction. But they only cause destruction when we receive them, when we entertain those words. So when ungodly words are thrown at us, we need to be, you know, like that expression where water flows off a duck's back. It needs to just flow off of us and not be received. Because when we do receive them, they have the power to bring us into bondage. And an example of that is, you know, there are parents who will call their child stupid or ugly or say something like, you'll never succeed. And you know what happens to that child? They begin to believe that. They receive it and they accept it. And that might be some of you. Some of you might have had a parent like that or a big brother or a big sister. Doesn't have to be a parent, or an uncle or an aunt, or a teacher. Can be lots of different people there. And those words can bring great destruction in many people's lives. Also, sicknesses can be inherited from past generations. There certainly are biological processes that are genetic. And we know that certain diseases are genetic, and I believe God can even heal those. But also, we need to understand that we can inherit dysfunction caused by our parents' behavior. Let me give an example. If you have a parent who is always fearful, what will the child grow up like? Fearful. If they're always anger and they're exploding at people, that's the example the child gets, and the child will struggle with that. If they're always bitter and complaining, the child will suffer with that too. We pass these traits on to our children, and it's something that really one of the reasons to break these things, I believe, is to break that chain. If it's been passed down through a couple of generations in your family, to make it stop and not go to your children, bring an end to it. Okay, to conclude, I want to look at five significant roots now and list what the dysfunctions or the sicknesses are that are associated with these roots so that you can connect those if you can. Now, again, let me go back and say that what roots are. Roots are attitudes that are ungodly, beliefs that are ungodly, habits of thought that are ungodly, can be ways of acting, but oftentimes it's just in our thinking. So first of all, envy. Envy is a product of a dysfunction in relationships with others, obviously wanting what other people have, but also in our relationship with God, not satisfied with what God has given us. Envy is spoken of 15 times in the Bible as sin. And here's a verse that I mentioned earlier, but I want to read it now. It tells us that there's a particular kind of disease that is associated with envy. Proverbs 14, verse 30, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. What diseases rot the bones? Arthritis, osteoporosis, joint problems. What are they? Especially osteoporosis, if you're not familiar with the bone structure becomes very light. The weight of the bone, this is how they check it. They measure the mass of the bones, and when the bones become light, they break easily. That's rottenness of bones. The second one is the whole area that is kind of under the stronghold of bitterness. And there's many, many things or spirits that are under that stronghold. Unforgiveness, resentment, hatred, anger, rage. They cause aneurysms, varicose veins, hemorrhoids. Also, this understanding about the danger of anger tells us two things. First of all, that we should confront people when we're angry with them, for a valid reason, rather than stuffing it, because it's dangerous to stay angry. It can cause destruction, not in them, but in you. And the third area is self-rejection. I mentioned this before with the self-talk. Self-hatred, and it's very logically clear what self-hatred causes. It causes diseases of the autoimmune system. The immune system obeys what the person feels about themselves and tries to destroy the person. The person doesn't like themselves, so the immune system tries to destroy them. And so sicknesses like Crohn's disease, lupus, diabetes, the kind that destroys the pancreas, not type 2, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, which is the immune system attacking the nerve sheath, coronary artery disease, hardening of the artery, strokes, heart muscle inflammation, rheumatoid arthritis have all been seen to be connected with a poor self-estimation, a poor self-image. And then fourth, a broken heart or a broken spirit. And again, this is one from Proverbs. And this is really interesting to me. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, first thought you might say, well, what's wrong with dry bones? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible talks about dry bones, right? Coming to life. But what we need to understand is just from a little bit of anatomy is that in the middle of the bones is something called the marrow, which is moist. And what's in the marrow is the heart of our immune system. That's where the white blood cells are manufactured and the red blood cells. And so if the marrow dries up, what happens? Yeah, if it completely dries up, you're dead, right? So this is what this means, I believe. And what is a broken spirit or a broken heart? It's not a sin, but it's the result of being rejected or betrayed by someone. And it can be due to abandonment, but many people suffer from a broken heart. A romantic relationship breaking up and there's a broken heart. And the Bible says this dries the bones. And what does that mean? Well, when the immune system is not working right, there's some very serious diseases of the bone marrow that you're probably aware of, like leukemia. But also, a weakened immune system makes us susceptible to all kinds of diseases because it's not as strong as it should be. So, you know, somebody who gets a cold like every couple of months, that could be due to a broken heart. And I've seen this. I've seen this when somebody loses someone, you know, that they're in a very difficult death. Very soon after that, they get something themselves. I don't know if any of you have ever noticed this, but oftentimes widows or widowers, soon after the spouse dies, they get something serious. And I believe it's because their heart has been broken. They've lost that loved one. And then the last one I want to look at is fear. Fear is a principality, I believe, but there are many subcategories of fear that we don't often talk about as fear. Worry, anxiety, stress, nervousness, tension, panic, terror, those are all subcategories of fear. And in Luke 21, Yeshua is talking about the coming of his return in verse 26, and he says this, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, normally when people read that, they think of, oh yeah, people are going to have their hearts failing, have heart attacks because of great cataclysmic events will happen, God's final judgment. Like, we know that oftentimes if you read after an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane, it says, and three people died of heart attacks. You know, everybody ever seen that? Because of the stress of what was going on. But, big but, medical science has discovered that many diseases are also caused by low-level fear. Not the panic of, like, there's a tornado coming, but low-level fear, ongoing anxiety, worry, and stress, fear of going broke, fear of loss of a loved one, fear of being rejected, fears of losing your job. These kind of things, what it does is it causes the adrenal glands which are the glands that secrete adrenaline when you need it. If there's something really fearful happening, like, you know, a lion is coming at you and you got to run away, that's a good thing that you get a shot of adrenaline when that happens. But if it's constantly secreting a low level of adrenaline because of stress and tension that's in your lives, what happens is the rest of the organs in the body begin to break down. And all kinds of illnesses happen. And finally, and I know somebody very well who had this happen, the adrenal glands can break down in what's called adrenal burnout. And you stop being able to secrete it. And what happens then is you need a little bit of adrenaline all the time. Just to get up from your seat, you need a little shot of it. And what will happen is that will not be possible and fatigue sets in. And so what is the root of fear? It's really just a lack of trust in God, that God's watching over you. It's a dysfunction in your relationship with him. And the Bible commands us over and over again not to fear. Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some circumstances where you shouldn't be afraid. There definitely are. If you're trapped in a burning building or you're attacked by a mugger, yes, you should be afraid. And you want that shot of adrenaline to get out of there or to run away from that mugger. But most fears are groundless. They're a fear of the future that you don't even know is going to happen, right? They're based on projections of what might happen. And giving into ungrounded fear, entertaining it, really is a violation of God's commands and something to be repented of. Long-lasting fear, like always being stressed at work, causes these harmful hormones in our bodies. So what are some other illnesses besides heart failure? Well, angina, which is a kind of heart failure, but high blood pressure definitely is caused by this. Hypertension, heart arrhythmias, and also when you're in that low-level fear, it suppresses your immune system. So people who suffer from like multiple chemical sensitivities and allergies also can be due to fear. Muscle diseases. This one I'm sure many of you experience, tension headaches. Muscles getting tight because you're stressed. Back aches. Also asthma, hay fever. And of course, many of us have experienced digestive system problems because we're stressed. Well, you feel that knot in your stomach, and you know that you know you're not going to feel well. Ulcers, all of those kind of things. Also, skin diseases like eczema and acne are due to stress. Central nervous system diseases, fatigue, lethargy. Some of the things that people get into, which are not like thought of as diseases, but workaholism, overeating, depression, insomnia, all of those can be caused by stress and fear. And I've counseled many people who have struggled with things like high blood pressure or heart arrhythmias or ulcers. And you know what I found is they've thought that anxiety, which they admit to, that's normal, that everybody suffers from that. And so they're just like, well, that's just normal. I just have a stressful job, or I have a stressful family. And they have no clue that that's not God's plan. His plan is for shalom, for peace. And so nothing can be done if that's where you're at, because you don't see it. And what happens is people go to the doctor, and what does the doctor do? He medicates the symptoms. Medicate the symptoms, and what happens with the medication? They don't remove the source of anxiety, right? You just tolerate it. And of course, we have that little stuff called side effects that then happens due to the medication. And in some of the people that I've counseled, when they've gotten this understanding and they begin to dig at these things and pray against fear, they've had tremendous victory over these things. They just go away because they still are in the same stressful environment, but they've learned how to handle the stress. They've learned to give it to the Lord. First John chapter 4, verse 18 says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we're going to end up with just that we've seen the root cause of many things is fear. And what does this verse say? Starts with, there's no fear in love. That says that love and fear cannot coexist together, right? If you're in love, in other words, if you are in a state of knowing you are loved, there will be no fear. When you're walking in God's perfect love, fear cannot get at you. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if there is fear, something is missing in what I would call your love covering. If there's fear, love has not gained a full hold on you. It's not perfected. Because if it were perfected, fear would be eliminated. So if we struggle with fear, it means there's a breach in one of those relationships. You don't believe God loves you perfectly, or you don't love yourself, or there's some breach in your relationship with people who are supposed to be your love covering, parents, siblings, spouses, your rabbi, friends, people who are supposed to be showing you love are not. And so your love covering has a breach in it. Well, how do you know if you have this problem? Well, if you don't feel safe with those people, if they don't forgive you, if they drive you, if they demand perfection from you, if they put you down, if they won't show you affection, then you can suspect that there's a problem there in that relationship. And fear, it says here in this verse, involves torment. And I believe this torment is that fear enables a spirit to get a hold of us and have power over us, an unclean spirit. And the torment, it can be mental, it can be emotional, it can be physical, it can be relational, and it can be financial. All those things can be tormenting, right? Anybody ever had torment from these things? Absolutely. And what is the only way to get rid of that torment? What does it say perfect love does? Casts it out. Now, I don't know how much more clear you can be about saying that this is something that deliverance is needed for. That's what deliverance is about, casting out. Perfect love casts out fear. Who is perfect love? The Lord himself casts out perfect fear. So the beginning of healing is reconciliation with God and his love and his fatherhood, making peace with him, and then reconciliation with self and with others, and letting that love be there. And then in John 14, we're ending up with this. This is what Yeshua says. Peace, or shalom, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And there's two things I want to say about this. First of all, Yeshua promises shalom, or peace. Do you know that shalom means the absence of fear? Right? Can you be at peace if you have fear? Impossible. So he says he will give it not as the world gives, meaning there will not be a price to pay, and it will not come from drugs which have side effects, because that's what modern medical science does. Now, I don't want to say put them down, but that's all they know to do when people are suffering from stress. Take this Valium, or take this drug that will make you la-la, and you won't struggle with that anymore. But there's a side effect. You're not thinking very straight anymore, and lots of other side effects. And then finally, in this verse, the second sentence is very interesting, because it's actually a command. Do you see it as a command? That's a commanding statement there. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, who's the command to? Yeah, so we have a part in this. We have to take control and say, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled or be afraid, because the Lord has commanded me to not let my heart be troubled, but what? Trust in him. Don't let it be afraid. Trust in him, and he will give you peace. Okay, we're going to pray. So, Father, we thank you for the days of awe, for days of revelation, of the things in us that are unpleasing to you, the things that bring destruction, the things that only your Spirit can reveal to us. We thank you for those, and we thank you, Lord. I believe you have extended the 10 days. You've extended it. Now it's been like another 20 days. And we thank you for your grace. And so right now, if any of you have had anything triggered by all of this, something in you that you know is iniquity, something that you know that is not along the way God thinks or his attitudes he wants you to have, let's just pray this with him. We take responsibility for any iniquity, Lord, that you have revealed in us. We stop blaming others for our problems. And we repent of entertaining any iniquity, any ungodly thinking, any attitudes. And I'm just going to list some of those here that might be something that the Spirit reveals to you. We repent of unforgiveness, of anger, of resentment, of bitterness. We repent of envy. We repent of fear, of worry, anxiety, stress. We repent of self-hatred, self-rejection, self-bitterness. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us based on the amazing, incredible sacrifice that Yeshua the Messiah made. We receive that sacrifice. We receive your forgiveness right now, Father. We receive it in its fullness, and we forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves. And right now, we turn away from that iniquity, whatever it is. We separate ourselves from it. And we bind the powers of the principalities of fear and self-hatred and bitterness. And with those powers bound right now, in the name of Yeshua, I command any of Satan's evil spirits that are within the sound of my voice, or somebody who's listening to this or is in this room, I command any of Satan's evil spirits to leave, all who are hearing this right now. Spirits of unforgiveness, anger, resentment, bitterness, envy, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, self-hatred, self-rejection, self-bitterness. In the name of Yeshua, you must go, because his name is above every name, and at his name, every knee must bow. Your power over every person who has repented of entertaining those things and receive forgiveness, your power is broken over every one of them right now. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give us the gift of discerning when these things pop up and we're tempted to go back to them, that we would be able to resist them. And I pray also now, Father, I know there's people in any group I know there's people in this room who have a broken heart through something that happened. Maybe it happened a long time ago, or maybe it just happened. And I pray right now, Father, for healing of the brokenhearted. Your word says you came to heal the brokenhearted. So I pray for the healing of broken hearts. And I pray right now for every physical affliction. So everybody who has a physical affliction, just raise up your hand right now. And Father, I pray for the healing of all of these physical problems that so many in this room that people have raised their hands for. I pray for your healing touch, that you would remove the cause, that you would restore, that you would even recreate where something needs to be recreated. You would bring total healing. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand here, but Father, I also pray for the healing of any emotional dysfunction that anyone here has, or any mental disorders, inability to concentrate, inability to get things finished. I pray against any mental disorders. I pray for healing for any mental disorder. I pray for healing for any spiritual disorders, for people who can't get close to you, Lord, for people who can't receive the word, for people who can't obey the word. And I pray for healing of relationships, Father. Any relationships that come to mind, that you would heal them. And the healing of finances in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would refill us with your Ruach, with your Spirit, and renew our minds by teaching us to think as you think, giving us new habits of thought. In Yeshua's name. In Yeshua's name. Now, before we end, I'm going to do one more thing today that the Spirit of God directed me to do. We're going to end the service with the Aaronic benediction. But if you could show those next slides, I just want everybody to read these with me before we break up. James says this: if someone ill among you ill, he should call for the elders of the congregation. They will pray for him and rub olive oil on him in the name of the Lord. The next slide. The prayer offered with trust will heal the one who is ill. The Lord will restore his health, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, openly acknowledge your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So after we end with the Aaronic benediction, if the Holy Spirit has brought some root to your mind today from you're struggling with today or in the past, and you recognize it and repented of that iniquity, according to this passage in James, you're invited to come up after that, after we close the service, and be anointed with oil and get prayer for deliverance and healing from myself and other elders who are available. I talked to most of them except Mr. Quinn over there. I hope you are available to pray for people. We actually had a prophetic word a couple of weeks ago that our elders needed to be praying for people and that there would be a mighty anointing upon it. So I'm believing for that. Now, when you come up, you don't have to tell us what that root or that iniquity is, unless you want to. It's sufficient to say you've dealt with this. I've dealt with something. I've dealt with something, and we're going to exercise our faith and pray for several things. So elders, just take note of what I'm asking you to pray for. I'm asking you to pray for people to receive full forgiveness. I'm asking you to command those spirits to leave. Pray for them to be able to resist their return. Pray for minds renewed. And finally, anoint with oil and pray for physical healing. And if you need emotional, mental, spiritual, relational, or financial healing, we'll pray for you for that too.